speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
On Sunday nights, we have been looking at evangelism. And as we have considered what the Bible teaches with reference to evangelism, we understand is that God spoke through Jesus in the first century, shortly after His resurrection, and issued the Great Commission. And how that in giving the Great Commission directly to the apostles, not only was this for them, but the first century church also understood the role that each and every one of them was to play as members of the Lord's church, as children of God, to be involved in reaching out. We are responsible for spreading the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God. We understand that not only in the first century were there lost people, there still remains lost people unto this very day. And therefore, the things that we have studied thus far, as it applied to the first century church in their role to reach out, these things also apply to you and me today as members of the kingdom of our God. Tonight, I want us to think in regard to benevolence. And as we think about benevolence, I want us to understand that this can indeed serve as a tool for evangelism. As we think with regard to benevolence, to begin with, I want us to go back and to look at three main areas of the work of the church. To begin with, we understand is that edification is a work of the church. To edify is about building one another up. The Bible speaks, in the New Testament especially, time after time, the ways in which we are to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, the ways that we are to express that love, to encourage one another as we have opportunities out in our daily walk of life, but also the way in which we are to help encourage one another as we are looking forward to the Lord's Day and then even upon the Lord's Day. A part of our edification as it pertains to the Lord's Day deals with the fact that we show up. And as a result of our being there, we are able to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to lead each other out, and that we might be able not only to serve God, but also to do great works in the kingdom. So edification certainly is a work of the church as it is defined by God in and through the New Testament Scripture. Another aspect of that is benevolence. Benevolence is where that we find needs, we see needs, we come to these understandings where that people have needs in their life, and we do what is within our power to do individually as well as congregationally to help meet those needs. We read of needs in the New Testament where that widows and orphans had needs and how that individuals had responsibilities as well as congregations to come together and to help meet the needs of those individuals, but even beyond that, how that members of the church from time to time had needs that were not being met, even widows in the church, and how that the church was responsible individually and even collectively to help meet those needs. And we must not also forget the needs of the world. We find in the New Testament times, in the first century, how that there were people who were doing without the daily essentials of life, and how that, number one, they had a responsibility for themselves. If they had the ability to meet those needs themselves, God charged them with that role to meet their individual needs. But whenever they could not, then the church was to come in and to assist them along the way. Those things still apply to us today. We are to be involved in the work of edification, but also to be involved in the work of benevolence. And as a congregation, we try to do both of those. And then the last and final that I want to think about, and we've been talking about that already 3 weeks, and that is the work of evangelism. And we do that here at East End. But yet at the same time, I'm encouraging us to think about it more and to get involved to greater lengths in regard to trying to reach out and to bring people to Jesus, because that's what evangelism is. We are responsible for not only knowing the Word of God, but for taking the Word of God unto those who are outside of Christ, laying Christ out before them, God's plan of salvation, that is, and giving them the opportunity that each and every one of us have had in our lives to obey or to reject the gospel plan or the message of Christ before it is eternally too late. I believe that whenever we look at these three works of the church, edification, benevolence, as well as evangelism, our primary mission centers in and around saving souls. Whenever we think about edification, whether it's in the church or even outside of the church, it ought to be in and around saving souls. Souls that are saved. We need encouragement all the time from one another. And therefore, it's about helping to keep the saved safe. Whenever we think about benevolence, I believe that everything that we do from a help standpoint within the church is to encourage one another, but also outside of the church is to bring glory and honor to our God's name so that souls might be able to be won to Christ before it is eternally too late. When we think about this idea of everything that we do in the church, individually as well as collectively, being about saving souls, I believe that Jesus demonstrates this in the working of His miracles. Every miracle that Jesus Christ our Lord performed, according to what we find in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, was to prove that He was the Christ and to bring forth belief amongst people so that they would become disciples or followers of our Lord. Also, I believe that this aligns with the mission statement that we find in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus said in that context that I came to seek and to save those who were lost. And friends, every turn of our Lord's life, we find that He was engaged in doing exactly that. And tonight, as I stand before you and I speak about benevolence, a tool in evangelism, I believe that benevolence can be or can serve as a tool for us in helping to win souls. Let me stress, it can, not that it must in every instance, but it can serve as a tool for us to be able to help reach out to bring souls unto our Lord. Why would I say that? I want to draw your attention to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through verse 16. In the context there, Jesus is teaching at the Sermon on the Mount, and He says that we are the light of the world. And as the light of the world, He's speaking with reference to the fact that our lives, as well as the things that we tell people, that these things ought to communicate the will of God. As we look to the fact that we are the light of the world, He says that no one hides a candle, but rather they open it up that it might give light unto all that are in the room or in the house. And He says, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My friends, tonight I tell you, as I trust all of you already know, benevolence is a good work that we ought to be using to the glory and honor of our God's name in helping us to win souls to Christ. People have needs. And what we find in regard to this matter is that God cares for all of mankind's needs. You go back in the garden where God created Adam and Eve and placed them there in the Garden of Eden. You've heard me say before, and I'm not the only one to say it, is that that was an oasis. Adam and Eve had everything at their fingertips, if you would. Adam and Eve had anything imaginable that is of their heart's desire at that time for them to be able to eat, to consume. And where did it come from? It came from our God. God didn't put them there and expect them to fend for themselves, but rather God created the Garden of Eden and He placed everything there, wanting full well for this man and woman, not only to survive, but for them to thrive in their lives and to do well. Then let's fast forward in the Old Testament Scripture to the children of Israel. As we think about the children of Israel, and again, God caring about man's physical needs, whenever Israel came out of Egypt, remember they murmured from time to time and they complained in various situations of which they were in. And what we find in regard to what we read in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 and following, is that they complained in this context that they didn't have anything to eat. And what did God do for them? God gave them manna, and eventually God even gave them quail. God wanted His people not to enter out of Egypt and die. Rather, He wanted them to understand that He was with them and that He was going to always be there. He saw their needs and He was there to meet those needs continually. Today, I tell you that God supplies avenues for our daily essentials to be met. From the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 45, we understand, or rather that ought to be Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, we realize is that God sends rain on the just and the unjust. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 says that God has not left Himself without witness and that He did good. And friends, I contend, I trust that you've heard me say this before, not only did God do good, God continues to do good. And James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation. Why do we have the avenues to be able to work and to provide for our families, to put clothing on our backs, to put food on the table, and to have a shelter to lay under at night? It's because God is working masterfully in our lives, and not only for us, but He's working for creation. And sometimes He works through His creation, meaning us, in order to meet those needs. Why would I say that? Friends, God expects us, as members of the church, as His children, to help those who are less fortunate. Take into consideration Deuteronomy 24 and verse 13. In that context, Israel was commanded to sow their fields. And whenever their fields produce, they were also commanded to go out and to reap the harvest. In reaping the harvest, my friends, they were also to realize that harvest had come forth because God had blessed them. As they were gathering, God told them, though, that they were to leave the corners of the field. Why? For the strangers, those who were passing by, who were less fortunate than what they were. You see, Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament Scripture, and this was what God expected out of them, to be benevolent people and to draw attention and glory and honor unto our God in doing so. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, of which Rodney read before us just a few moments ago, in Galatians 6 and verse 10, he says, "As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, every single man." All men have been created by God. And therefore, God wants us to do good unto everyone, but especially those who are the household of faith, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In this, I believe that God demonstrates from the Scriptures that we've looked at thus far, as well as other Scripture found in and throughout, and especially as it deals with the church today in the New Testament, is that God opens hearts through benevolent deeds. Let's think about what we find in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, we had 3,000 souls who put Christ on in baptism. After Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking bread and in fellowship. You go on then in verse 43 through verse 47 says that they continued steadfastly. And as they are continuing steadfastly and they're meeting from house to house, breaking bread, eating with one another, the Scripture says that as needs arose, they sold the possessions and they divided those possessions as each one had need. What effect was that having upon the people in that day? I believe that their hearts were being opened. You say, "Kevin, how do you know that?" I believe that their hearts were open and it gave opportunity for the Word of God to be taught to these individuals. Here's why I would say that. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Yes, the Word of God had a major impact upon their lives, but have you ever heard it said, "People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care"? And I believe that certainly we have that to be characteristic in the first century church after the onset of the church. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Burden bearing is one of the greatest ways in which I believe that God gives us to be able to express and to demonstrate the love that God has for people and the love that we have for people. As we think about using and understanding benevolence and evangelism, there are some cautions that I want us to consider. As we do help people, we need to make sure that our help is sincere. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 that we are to love with a pure, sincere heart. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 is that purity of mind and actions must constantly be about who we are. And therefore, as we are helping individuals and we're using those things in an evangelistic manner, we've got to also understand is that we must have our heart wrapped around in a very sincere fashion, that our heart must be pricked as what the Lord's was whenever He was doing this. He had compassion upon people and therefore He helped them. And as a result of having compassion upon them and helping them, then that opened up a door. And therefore, you and I, in like figure, as we're helping, our heart must be sold on helping these individuals, whether or not they come to the Lord, and yet at the same time realizing that this might be our end to helping them. My friends, in Life Figure, I believe that God wants us to understand is that we need to be cautious and to see that we need to be wise stewards in helping others. I want to go back to what we looked at a minute ago in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Above all, we need to constantly be there for one another. And as a congregation, I believe that we do that wonderfully. Whenever we find out that there are needs within the church, we try to do what we possibly can, and even sometimes we try to go above and beyond. I believe, from what I witness as a minister as well as one of the elders, we try to go above and beyond to make sure that our members' needs are met and that our members know that they are loved and that they are appreciated here at this congregation. And I don't believe that whenever it comes to our members, we have much to worry about as to whether or not we've been a good steward in helping them. But I will say, whenever it comes to the world is hard to figure out. And sometimes we will never be able to figure out the situations that we're helping out and we're going to be taken advantage of. And that's the way that it is, and that's the way that it was with Jesus, and that's also the way that it was from time to time in the first century. But at the same time, I believe that we owe it to God. We owe it to the honor of God to make sure that we're not just throwing money away, throwing money out here, and allowing people to misuse and to abuse it, to buy drugs, to buy alcohol, and to feed their sinful habits. I believe that God wants us to understand situations, and we try to do that within the eldership whenever we talk to people to make sure that indeed they fit the criteria that certainly would glorify and honor God as we are giving and helping out. And then in Life Figures, we think about cautions. I believe that God expects us to see that we need to make certain God receives the glory and honor. I trust that all of us try to do good in our lives. Whenever we see a need, we try to do what we can individually to meet that need. And have you ever had somebody say, "Thank you, I can't thank you enough, I really appreciate it, no one's ever done this for me, thank you so much for everything that you've done for me"? Friends, let me encourage us, even individually, is that maybe we need to factor God into that equation and to say, "Listen, God has blessed me, and therefore because God has blessed me, I'm able to bless you. And if you're going to thank anyone, thank God for this. And come visit us at East End Church of Christ." But also then, let's take and relate that to the church. Whenever we give as the church, who gets the glory and honor, hands down? God. If He doesn't, He needs to. Because the church belongs to God. And hence, therefore, everything that we do as the body of Christ, as we're looking at this in evangelism for the sake of benevolence, God must receive the glory and honor in all things, in every situation. But my friends, as we look to helping people, I believe that it is critical, it is vital, most important for us to do the follow-up with these individuals, what I call warm contacts. They're warm contacts in this sense. Well, let me explain. Let me go back a little bit. Warm contacts come in two different ways, tonight anyway, the way that I'm seeing it. One way is that your family and friends, you put us in touch with them. They're warm in the sense that you know them and you are telling me about them, and therefore I'm able to go and say, "Donna Argo recommended you," or "Rodney Myers recommended you." And they have a connection with you, and therefore now I've got a connection with them as well. And hence, it beats going and knocking on a cold door. Another warm contact is where that we have helped somebody. We've helped to meet their needs. And therefore, we're able to go to them, and we're able to say, "We're from the East End Church of Christ." And therefore, as a result of that, maybe we just invite them to come to services, or maybe we ask them if they would be interested in doing a one-on-one personal Bible study or getting involved. Ann does our Bible correspondence courses, and she's always looking for more and more people to get involved in that. Maybe we hand them a Bible correspondence course. The problem is that oftentimes these warm contacts, people that we help, I believe that whenever we look at the church, especially from a universal standpoint, we drop the ball. And my friends, let me suggest tonight is that it requires more than one, it requires more than two or three. What I'm saying tonight is that it requires every single one of us doing our part to follow up whenever we use evangelism, or excuse me, whenever we look at benevolence and then try using it to the glory and honor of God in helping to bring souls to Jesus. We find this to be true in regard to team efforts or team evangelism from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, where that we understand one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 that ought to be in, or 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 actually, is that we teach those who are also then able to teach others likewise, therefore following up on a continual basis. There are some biblical examples that I want to present before I close out the lesson tonight. Saints at Pentecost sold and divided their goods as each one had need. And what was the result? The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. A multitude of believers in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through verse 35, the Bible says that they shared their blessings. And as a result of their sharing their blessings, it says in that context that none of them considered the things that they possessed to be their own. They didn't go on about, well, you know, this belongs to me, it doesn't belong to you. They realized that God had given them these blessings and that they were mere stewards over it. And according to the context, they sold their land, they sold their homes, and they divided it to the point to where no one was lacking. What did that do for the church? I believe that the context in this immediate context and in the broader context of what we find with reference to the church in that area is that they were edified. They were encouraged in great, amazing ways. And then we have the brethren sending relief to those of Judea. And how did they give? The Bible says that they simply gave according to their own abilities. And again, God was glorified in all of this. Somebody says, well, can the church give to help those who are outside of the body of Christ? Absolutely, we can. Especially those, let me go back, especially we help those who are the household of faith. But then in like figure, we have in what Paul wrote to those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through verse 13. In that context, he speaks about the collection. And as he spoke with reference to the collection, he goes on to identify how that the money that had been given, the funds and goods that had been laid out and stored up, and that they had been collected for the needy saints of Jerusalem. That goes back to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and following. For the needy saints of Jerusalem not only went to help them, but all men. Meaning even those outside of the body of Christ. And why would they help all men? Well, to begin with, because God says, as Christians, as members of the church, we do that. But friends, also for the sake of helping to bring glory and honor to God, the doors, hearts might be open to be able to win souls to Christ before it would be eternally too late. Evangelism is a work of the church, and I believe that benevolence can be a tool that God wants us to use that we would be able to accomplish in helping bringing others to Christ before they would stand before Him in judgment. If you're here tonight and subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you with His call as together we